What's up, SOLC family? This is part two of our conversation with Vandalism. Man, dope finishing up this conversation. Like as you said on the last episode, it's going to be a part two. We talk about a lot more different things. We go into his music, kind of a lot of different random topics. Dope conversation. Make sure you subscribe to the Straight Outta Lowcast podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcasts at, we are there. And after this is podcast is over, listen to Van's new track, Welcome Back, which is on his new album that you get on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, anywhere you get your music at. The album is called Rumors of My Demise Are Greatly Exaggerated. A dope project, man. I'm proud of my boy. He's back, been putting in work for all those people that want to hear some nice, real good hip-hop. Check that project out and check out the rest of our conversation with Vandalism.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario? Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
Ayo, Bo knows this.
What?
And Bo knows that.
What?
But Bo don't know jack. Cause Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know? The dead dog is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holds barred. Time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like cool, will help you get your Z's true. But here's the real scoop.
Yeah, no, I'm saying
we're gonna edit the shit out of this show.
No. But, it's not on the docket though.
But
it's not on the docket though. We ain't talking about it. It's not on the docket.
Oh gosh. Here's what I wanted to do because I want to get to the name.
This vodka cranberry is crazy.
I want to get to the name of your new album, but I want to go back.
Yeah.
I want to go way back because the reason, a big reason I want you here is because I want you on the show.
Yeah.
But a big reason why we've done a lot of it already because it can just go anywhere. It can hit on a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
We're not even going to time it, the other part of what I wanted to hit about. But I want to say, you know, how we got to the name of the new album. So before we get to that point, I want to go back in time.
Yeah.
I want to go way back in time.
Yeah.
Give me, if you can, the self-checkout version of what a discography looks like for you. How you got to the first one. How you got to the next one. How you got to that point.
Okay, so basically my first entire project like was a mixtape that was like lightly, you know what I'm saying, pressed out and given to people just randomly on the streets, which was called...
Is it the Wurmberg joint on
I believe so. It's called.
Yo,
It was called.
You need to send me to this email, but
I do not have this shit.
Hold on. What's the name?
You do not have that song.
I don't think I have
the remix to that joint. That you not
have. I have it.
You do not have that.
Listen, that's how. Listen, I'm gonna say that's how old I am.
Are you serious?
I know that's whack.
It's on a hard.
What's the name of it though? Because he got really upset, and I didn't even hear the name of it.
It's called I Ain't Shit. Seriously, he ain't shit.
Okay.
And it was basically
Wurmberg Theater's joint.
Listen, and it was basically a demo that I made just to hand out to people when I did shows in other cities, and as well as mine. And that demo got into the hands of Fonte, as folks know, from Little Brother fame.
Justice League.
And Justice League and all the beautiful...
No, you know, we got to change it up because there's a different thing. Two Justice Leagues now.
Well, we're not talking about... We're not talking about the production team. We're talking about the folks, Ninth Wonder, Little Brother.
Yeah, because a lot of people get all fucked up.
Right, yeah, that's what we're talking about. So it got into the hands from a friend of mine in Chicago. And they listened to it and they thought it was great. And then I started rolling with them. And then I created the project Megatron Majors. Because, you know, niggas from the Midwest. It's just totally motivated after getting some, you know, we want to strike when the iron is hot. So I gave Cass 18 records, like, you know, saying on the project that I completely produced all of. But maybe like one record on that bitch. And then it went to that. From there, we did the, mixtape did we do? We did, I can't remember, bro. You have to go to my Bandcamp. Like, that's how old I am. Yo, you have to go to my Bandcamp. I did a mixtape with DJ Trackstar that ended up getting an insane amount of traction. And we're talking about, like, in the blog era.
Yeah, you like talking about OK Player.
Yeah, that, the, like a BGOL. Like, you know, the New Music Cartel. For my folks who came up in that whole MySpace, old trying to get caught up in the blogs type of, you know exactly what it was like to get put on an outright on it. You heard that news.
Do you remember the battle that was the battle that was supposed to happen between Young Ill and the white dude? That was it was the most pumped up rap battle on singles history. Outside of the
it was Young Ill
and the white dude. It was the white dude and somebody else. It wasn't Young Ill though.
It wasn't Young Ill, but you're talking about the white. I mean, it was A-Verb he went up against.
No, he didn't. It wasn't A-Verb.
Dude, I know the white dude.
No, it was some skinny dude.
He was like my size. And he sauced him.
Yeah, it was some dude like my size, though, the black dude though. It was Young Ill.
It might have been Young Ill.
It was some dude named Emperor. Okay,
we're talking about two different white dudes. But anyhow, back to my shit.
The mixtape
I was talking about, it was Vandalism Is Not the Father. I totally forgot about that shit.
Yeah.
Amazing mixtape still to this day.
Dude, man. I got it on my iPod right now, nigga.
Then I did Bitch, I Mean It's Talented, which was basically like all of the mix. The verses I've done for other people with a couple of joints that I, you know, sent did as well. And then I did a joint called The Proposal, which was an EP, which I still was very extremely underrated. And Cash saw saw the album cover and bit that for their own one. I'm not going to say who, but if you look at it and then look at other people who's very known album covers, you might come across it and see, damn, he totally bit that shit. And then you got Megatron Major Redux when I went with Soul Spasm out of New York. Shout out to them. And we went ahead and re-released it for the masses and put a few new records on Megatron Major because a lot of people didn't get to hear it. And that did extremely well on iTunes. I think the top that it peaked on the hip hop charts was like 42, something crazy. You have to keep in mind, you know, this is an independent, and I have the number 42 hip hop album in the world.
I remember when that was happening.
You know what I'm saying? In the world, my bro. Like, so then you got that, and then I did Bitch, I Made It Talented Too, which was after all of my shit got stolen.
So you
had
stolen?
Yo, I had a whole project that I was doing at the time. You know what I'm saying? At the time, my girlfriend at the time was terminally ill, like, and I was basically taking care of her and her family. And in the process of doing that, you're dealing with somebody terminally ill. Mm-hmm. Beyond taking care of them, all you got is time because you got to make sure that they straight. So I was just creating shit in that process. And so we were going like back and forth from the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, and I had a hard drive full of like the beats and stuff that I had made, and like, you know what I'm saying? So for this project that I was making, and you know, we had just came back from Mayo Clinic dead tired. I didn't take my backpack out of the bag. I just left it in the car. I went in the crib, we went to sleep. Woke up the next day, I'm like, yo, let me go grab my backpack. They opened up the door in the car, stole my backpack, they had my hard drive and my computer and all of that. All of those songs were gone.
And a quick pause. When that happened to you, we were going through remarkably like eerie similar things.
Both of us, we were having these conversations.
Because at the same time, I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I got the first four years of my sports writing stolen out of the trunk.
Yeah.
Because I got my computer stolen. Yeah. In my first 4 years, everything I ever wrote in college, all my first 4 years of my master's of everything I ever wrote, that if my site got erased, I would lose it all now.
Yeah.
Like, it was all gone. Exactly. That was happening at the exact same time.
We was rapping about that, and that's crazy. Like,
I was dating a chick that we were kind of going through the same thing, too. Yep.
Right, and that's why I never respect a thief, bro. Because it's like, dudes, you never really know how down bad you just put somebody. And God, like, God's love, man. A lot of people supported me, put me up, dog, and had a Kickstarter, dude, that allowed me to create a whole new studio system set up that I didn't have, like, beforehand. I was like, the shit, if you would have saw what I was making my music on, dog, you would have looked at me like, dude, what the hell? And it's like, and in the process, I was able to create all of this music that I've been creating. But in the process of that, life has just been continuing to happen. Yeah. So I haven't been able to release anything. And so you're talking about a whole bunch of falling down, a whole bunch of getting up. You know, I had a daughter. You know what I'm saying? I'm a dad now. And so, process of that is that, listen, I had to move to a completely different city where I don't know anyone besides the mother of my child, and I got my kid, and I'm going to take this little shitty ass job that I got, and I'm going to take care of them, and I'm going to be a dad, and I'm going to be an on-site dad. And so doing that paused up a lot of this situation as well. So a lot of people don't realize it's like, I haven't just been sitting back chilling, kicking it. Like, dude, I've been out here living, like, trying to get
up. You talk early about real life will fuck you up.
Real dog, life be lifing. That's one of my favorite quotes in the world. Life be lifing. And so, with that being said, in the process of that, and Rob, when you had on here before, like, what's telling you, dude, I have been crafting music for years that a lot of people have not heard. And the beauty of it is that the music that I've been making, I try to not make trendy stuff. And it's not just because I don't like trendy stuff, but it's just, I like to make stuff that you're going to be able to listen to when you're 60 years old. Like, and your grandkids are here to be like, I get why that's hard. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of stuff that I make. So a lot of the new stuff I made compared to the old stuff I made, you will never know the difference. You'll never know the difference. When I play it for you, it's all brand new for you. So this project is called Rumors of My Demise Have Been Greatly Exaggerated. Which... is
I love the title, man. When I read it, I was like, oh shit.
Right, listen, which
you say it is different though, because it's like it's a long ass sentence.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. And reason being is because I've been dormant for a second, man. And you get a lot of people who come to you and be like, damn, you still do music? Or, yo, is it a hobby? Or, it's like, not in a hobby, bro. I'm still raw as shit. You just ain't heard it. But, you know, just because I've been out here living, I'm in a bit more steadier space right now. So, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and hit y'all with this and let y'all know that it's real out here. Let's go ahead and get this ball back rolling and remind y'all what the hell it is that I do. So, that's what this is.
I'm going to be honest with you because tomorrow, well, by the time this comes out, it would have been yesterday night. But tomorrow, you have a little bit of a release party, a little bit of an album debut. I'll be honest. Yeah. I was about to buy it last week.
Yeah.
And then you announced that you were doing this.
Yeah.
And I myself don't enjoy too much more in life than experiencing music for the first time with other people.
Yeah.
So, I said, I'm not going to buy this because if I buy this, I will listen to it right now. Like, I will sit here and do this. But absolutely. I won't listen to it. So, I said, I want to listen to this then.
Right.
You know, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, off top. So yeah, when y'all hear this, it'll been happening. But on Thursday the 12th, I'm having a listening joint at Arcade at 2720. My album actually comes out October 16th, which is this upcoming Monday, if you're listening to this. And it is up for pre-order, you know what I'm saying, on iTunes or pretty much wherever it is that you do your pre-ordering at. It will be up on all of the major streaming services. But yeah, I just want people to hear, you know what I'm saying? I want people to hear and feel what it is that I made. You know, there's records on there that kind of reflect what it is that I've been through. And I mean, just me as a new person, as a new MC, as a new producer, as a new songwriter. And I want them to get into me as a grown ass man who has responsibilities as a father. And I'm just not out to necessarily prove to people that I'm the greatest MC of all time. Like, I'm out to prove to y'all that, like, listen, I make jams. I want y'all to enjoy music, but enjoy it from the aspects of a dude who's lived a lot of life.
Who'd you work with on this one?
Well, production wise, besides myself, you got James Biko, Sergeant Biko, you know what I'm saying? DJ Needles, you know what I'm saying? And then you got my boy Jansport J out of Los Angeles. Those are the only two producers besides myself, and they produced a record, a piece. It's 9 joints on there, so the rest of them I produced. Okay. As far as collaborations on there, I'm not super heavy on it, but you got legendary Marv 1. You got Nicholas F. Folks that know Nicholas F. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude, super out of Virginia, amazing MC. Was once at one point the BET 106 and Park Freestyle Champion. You know, I ain't gonna get too deep into it. Like, I can say some things, but let's just say, like, you've been rocking with dude even when you didn't know you was rocking with dude.
Mm-hmm.
And
ghosting.
No, don't go there. Listen. Then my boy Black Milk, who I absolutely love. Amazing producer, amazing MC, one of my favorite cats out of Detroit. And of course Corey Black, man. I mean, Corey Black, I always bring him in, kind of Corey touch Black on.
Do, man.
Yeah, kind of touch on, man. Like, I mean, his spoken word is so phenomenal, and I have him kind of like to be able to verbalize things that I'm not even able to verbalize, and that's what I do.
So. That was the thing I really liked about that era. We'll go back, you know, God, man, I feel what, 7 years ago now? Like, you go back to that era, there was like an incredible amount of hungry people that in St. Louis, like everybody the same age, like late 20s and like, you know, working through their stuff, getting stuff done. I can remember times going over to Tech House, Tech Supreme Crib.
Shout
and
just to
and the stuff he got going on, the stuff they're working on over there, like that was a what?
I said, am I drunk? Is this like a?
Oh, it's a special kind of cup. But his entire crib was like just dedicated to making music.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just like it. Like, I remember
he blazed that shit.
Eric Richardson, somebody else we need to, if he ever comes back to St. Louis. Yeah. His house was just about making music. Like, it was just
Trackstar 2, man.
Yeah, Trackstar 2. And dude, listen to me, man. Shout out to Trackstar, yo. Like,
shout out to Trackstar, man.
Check it out, man.
He's gonna come on the podcast, so he says soon though, man.
Went to Made in America. A few weeks back in Philadelphia. This was my first time able to see Trackstar on stage with Run the Jewels.
Mm-hmm.
And for a major festival like that. And I'm literally in this VIP keeping myself from crying, bro. Because you have to keep in mind, like, these are conversations.
Trash is
that
the motherfuckers with us at the high point.
Like, you got to keep in mind, not beyond the fact that, oh, he's like a cornerstone in the hip hop movement in St. Louis. Beyond that, these are personal conversations that me and this man have had in his home, in my home. And we're sitting there talking about things that we want to do and accomplish. And, bro, you're doing it. And I'm in a completely different city, bro. We 10 states away from where the fuck we did this at. And you rocking for thousands of people. Do you know what I'm
going
saying?
Going hard.
Going hard. Do you understand? Like, could you imagine what that looked like? And you see your family actually doing it. Like, that is a beautiful thing. And then to sit there and be sitting, just, like, it's like we didn't miss a beat. Yeah. You know, we don't get to talk as much as we do because the dude is touring all year. All year. Huh. It's absolutely phenomenal to see my dude actually living a life, dog. Like, this is what I'm talking
about. LA now.
Huh?
You live in LA?
He lives in LA now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was just in A.
Because I know he moved to A, then he moved back to LA.
Yeah. But yeah, like, dog, just sit there and watch my folks, dog. We came up. Like you said, like you were talking about, man, bro, like, there was a renaissance, bro, where everybody on all ends in St. Louis was just getting to it.
Dude, it was dog, so
it
crazy,
was
though, man.
Beautiful. Promoters, all the musicians.
No, what's so crazy is people understand, though, we had a podcast on Shout Out Low Cash with Rob, Boo, and Finsta, same time and everything, though. And tell them about how many people came to the high point.
The high point, people understand.
What's up with the reunion party there? Is it happening? Is it going down?
Man, I ain't heard shit. I need to hear shit. Listen, yeah, dude, the high point. For folks that don't know, man, the high point is this.
That's why I met Van.
Right. It was this cafe lounge attached to this movie theater, the high point. Like, you know what I'm saying? Folks that from the crib, they know it's a big ass high point sign out the front. But every Monday, just music lovers, MCs, all that different type of stuff would come up to the lounge at the high point. All the DJs would just be basically playing all the jams and all the newest, hottest hip hop at that time. And at the end of the night, there was this big freestyle session.
It can turn to a battle if you want.
But basically, if you did not have them bars, you did not get on that stage, and your job is to wow the crowd. Your job is to make the crowd cheer. And if you was trash, they was going to boo you off the mud. The DJ was going to hit you with that record, and you was going to know that shit was whack. But if it was whack, you was going to have to come back next week and come with some hotter shit. Basically, Finsta, Rob Warren, Cash, man, God bless their souls, man, for real, because they opened up the doors for me and a lot of people.
Let's go to the DJs was really what?
K-9,
Reminisce,
Trackstar. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was a bunch of them. You can go down the line.
People know now, though, for doing what they're doing now.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is,
Reminisce, though, that's how I created all the...
Right.
But yeah, shout out to Reminisce.
But speaking on that, what I'm saying to you is that you got cats like myself who wasn't old enough to go to the High Point Cafe. And Fenton and Rob Boney's cats was sneaking us in because we was nice. I was in high school. You know what I'm saying? I was not 21 years old, and they put me in a spot where you got to be 21 or up. I was going in that joint because I was nice. And he would bring, he would, like, I was interning up at Q95. Mm-hmm. When they would do it every Monday, right before this thing, actually, yeah. they would let cats call in and freestyle and record.
That was with Finston.
I would literally go in there every single week because I was interning at the station. I would stay, after school, I would stay late to be on there to freestyle every single Monday, every single week. And I would burn that joint down. And then I would go to the High Point immediately after the joint and burn that joint down. Like, you, the whole High Point, the whole highlight of my week was going to the High Point that week and hitting these cats with a dope ass 24 or 32 and just blowing the entire roof off.
Did you ever have a battle with the High Point?
I did, and I didn't. It's not because, like, I wasn't ready or wasn't able. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, the cats that I was running with, we was all fam. Like, niggas heard me, not to be arrogant. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You didn't want that smoke. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's not that
I heard the best battle was what's homeboy from the All Stars?
D Mac versus hands down probably the best freestyle in St. Louis history.
It was D Mac versus somebody else. I can't remember who that was though.
That I've never seen.
And Rabu said that was the best ever.
I'll give it to you because the thing about it is that they said
D Mac lost the first one to this dude though.
This is the thing about D Mac, dog. I've never seen D Mac write a single thing in his life, and not like that. Oh, okay, yeah, I go in the booth and say a couple.
Yeah, because the All Star sound of some of the Gucci.
I've never seen like he just says the shit. Like that's just his thing. It's just he freestyles, and so the beauty of that is that sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. Because
it's
you're just
your mood. It's your mood.
Because you're just giving.
Yeah.
It's possible, man. Because I mean, like, people look at me and they say, "How do you know who started third base for the Cardinals in 1996?" I just know.
But that's different. That's history, though.
But no. It's the same thing.
Because if you've thought it before.
And if you've had a thought before in your mind that connects with something, though, you can bring it back. Yeah. And then if you say, think about this next thing.
That's not natural.
It's that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not
yeah,
natural.
Either you know how to do that or you can't do it.
And that's what I'm saying.
And he had the ability to do that.
And that's what I'm saying. My thing is that you got cats who can freestyle and then you got cats who freestyle better than people write.
Right.
Like my boy Marv One, I've watched him battle people freestyling off the top of their head and destroy their ribs for 3 rounds. Like, I've watched you do this with my own eyes. He doesn't have to write. He writes just because it's a part of the culture. Hey, but the reality of it is he doesn't have to.
While we're here, I want to turn a corner real quick here and hit with something that just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Eminem.
Okay.
At the BET Hip Hop Awards ciphers.
Okay.
And, like, it's been a lot of different people that have been taking what he said a lot of different ways. And it's just been really...
Oh, so that was the actual track, you saying?
No, I'm saying that, like, the reviews have been mixed.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
I was thinking saying it's mixed.
Like, I watched it, like, I kind of took the point of it.
Honestly.
And I liked it. I liked the thing he was doing. Like, Van, have you seen it?
I definitely saw it. I watched it.
So, like, what did you think? Like, what did you make of it?
Do you think
he was going off the top?
No, he wasn't going off the top. Even though M could have done it off
the
top.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure.
Because you got to keep in mind, M is from that era of Scribble Jam and shit like that. But not only were they going off the top, but they were going off the top on beats, which is way harder.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that. Like, freestyling with no beat, I ain't going to hold you to a cadence. Or you can sit here and say it, take 2 seconds to think about it, and give me that other line. You feel what I'm saying? Like, not to say that there's no skill in that. Absolutely there is. But you have a buffer in between that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the era where Eminem came from, there's no buffer. Bruh, Shook Ones is playing. And if you're freestyle battling, you got to not only come up with this shit, but that shit got to be on beat.
Mm-hmm.
That is a different level of skill, my dude. Not to be on some old man type shit, but no, seriously. Mm-hmm. Anybody who you think you cold at freestyling right now, not only freestyle, but battle somebody on beat. Like, that's a different level of gangster. And he won shit. You know what I'm saying? Freestyle Olympics, I think he came in third, and that's the reason why he actually got known, because somebody had saw him there and took his demo tape to Dr. Dre, and that's how that happened. And so, you have to keep in mind, if you come in third, Freestyle Olympics, nigga, this is nothing but the best of motherfuckers there. So, Eminem has the ability to do that off the top of his head. Which, if he told me...
Last year, we won that.
Yeah, like, if he would have told me, yeah, no, that was a freestyle, I believe you. Because I've heard you freestyle, and I know how good you are. I totally believe this is not... That's an exercise. He's built himself up to the ability to be able to do that, to where you question whether he wrote it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good he is. With that being said, I loved it. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people felt...
I've not seen any reactions. I don't know why people don't like it.
Because they felt like that his delivery, they didn't like his delivery. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they're not used to Eminem delivering like that. But the problem is that Eminem would have went full Eminem in the delivery department of it. I say this, and I'll say this on record. There's nobody cadence-wise that can fuck with Eminem in the history of hip-hop. So, period, bar none, shut the there's not a person on the planet, cadence-wise.
Or gone from the planet.
That can fuck with Eminem, cadence-wise.
Biggie, Biggie is on.
There is not a person that has been born on this planet that can fuck with Eminem cadence-wise. We're talking about a man who made the word orange rhyme. There's no rhyme technically for the word orange. And he's done it at least 8 times to the point where you're like, God damn, you're right. That worked.
Cam Rock could probably figure out.
Cam Rock
is a different beast. But what I'm trying to say in this situation, because even like the opening line that I make fun of, because I hated the way he opened the verse in the freestyle. That's an awfully hot coffee pot. It was hokey. But the thing is that if you listen to that, that's an awfully hot coffee pot. Like, that's how he does it. And he freaks shit like it's a puzzle.
I like the Fantastic Four line.
So, do they want him to be rhyming like he was on Detroit versus Everybody, you think?
Yes, they wanted him to...
I'm going to tell you right now what I thought of when I said, because I didn't see it last night. I watched it earlier today because I was reading a lot about it, and I watched it earlier today just because I got a crazy amount of respect for M, and I saw he had the heel beard. Right. So, I was like, all right. I said, all right. So, Eminem's going like, he's gone like 1,000% heel.
Roman Reigns beard.
He straight had the Roman Reigns Reigns joint, which I'm gonna get this weekend. Now that Eminem made it hot for this week, but anyway though, like I expected it. Like when I think about the BET Hip Hop Award ciphers, like I remember when like Cube came on there a couple years ago, and everybody had somehow forgot how Ice Cube's a top 20 MC of all time. But they forgot about that somehow, and I was just like, thank you for doing that, Cube. But I thought that M was gonna go on there and like he had ethered him like in like a rap god type of way.
But
he did it a different way. Right. And a good point, I was reading an article about today's good point is it's like, hey, don't act like this is new. Eminem's been on Donald Trump's ass for years.
Right. But then, like I said, my problem is that, number one, I can see both sides. I'm going to say it like this. They didn't like the cadence. And my problem in this situation, the reason why they didn't like the cadence is because they're used to a certain M. They wanted him to be showy. M didn't want to be showy.
Right.
Even in the process of him not being showy, you still can't do what the fuck he just did.
He wanted to make sure you heard what he was saying.
That's the point. Because he could have easily had DJ Premier behind him just playing that beat.
Easy ass beat.
Exactly. And he could have went ape shit on that. Easy. Eminem does that in his sleep. That's nothing. He did not want to be behind him, and he slowed down his approach because he wanted to be heard. He could have made that as difficult as humanly possible. And that's what I kind of was talking to people about right there. That is being a real MC. Mm-hmm. Because you have to know when to go 100 miles per hour, and you got to know when to go 25. And the key to it is that knowing when. Because you got in time, you got certain, and we were talking about this shit. Because we got into a huge debate on Twitter today about like people who are extremely talented but don't necessarily have great songs. Like, you know, some songs or some singers who are phenomenal singers, mm-hmm. like will sing you out the room. Jeff, but as far as when it comes to actually creating a jam,
I'm gonna put Razzcast on that list.
I love
Razzcast. I'm saying
I love Razzcast, but I'm
a phenomenal rapper.
But I listen to Razzcast for certain things. We're talking about, but you also know certain rappers who can't rap to save their damn life, but
great songs,
but can make amazing songs. And there is an artistry in that. We're talking about the being able to make songs. And I feel like an actual really good or an excellent MC knows the ability and how to maneuver within those elements.
Hey, let me ask you this, man. When you say that, because like I think Eminem right now, to me, like I made a comment. I said, "Here's my favorite thing about Eminem right now. It's like he's like the WCW Crow Sting now. Like he just kind of shows up.
I like that.
And like he just kind of like that. Yeah, like he's like he's always been
experienced that. Like the
1997, 98 Sting. Like that's
coming
who
the rafters.
That's who Eminem is. Like that's who Eminem is to me now. Like he just kind of like appears, you know. Like he like when
come
he
through
when,
with the bat.
When he's there, he's gonna come through and he's gonna fuck shit up,
right? And then it bounce.
But like, yeah, then he's out. But like, my thing about that is, I look at that now, and I don't ask you about this,
yeah.
Van, is that do you think that that type of MC is still being produced?
I'm gonna tell you this right now, and I was talking to people about this earlier, right?
Like, what will the BT hip hop cyphers look like in 10 years?
And I'm gonna say that. And I'm look, gonna, but I'm gonna say, no, listen, I'm gonna say it, check it out, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, right now, one of the hottest, like, young niggas in the game right now is by the name of Trippie Redd. You know, people, you know, air quotes now, mumble rap, because from what I understand, he hates for it to be called that. But it's that kind of lane, if you were to, like, characterize that, like, in something mm-hmm. that's that kind of lane, right? So, you know, the young thuggish future type of melodic, like, you know, like type shit, right? And he makes cuts. Love his music. But then he got a record that's like, it's called like Rap Like Me. And he's, it's a straight backpacker boom bap. And he's rapping like that over this shit. And it's like,
so do you feel like cats don't do it like that anymore because it's not going to make them money?
No, it's not. And the thing about it is that particular sound isn't really monetized. Not to say that skill isn't. Because if you look at the top rappers, the top rappers in the game are skill. Jay-Z and Kendrick, who's J. doing Cole. Nothing but giving us, J. Cole, that was giving us nothing bars all year. And they sold the top selling albums of 2017 rap wise. So
he didn't look with Drake though. He has at least decent amount of bars.
I'm not, and this ain't talking about like, I mean, not to say More Life isn't in there, but we're talking about these records sold more than More Life. That's
Well, I guess stylistically,
ain't no Triple H Sensation no fucking with none of that. Ain't nobody.
And the why and fuck that guy. But why should it be about him?
I don't fuck with him either.
Yeah, man. Fuck that guy. So because we don't deal with fucking woman beaters and all of that type of shit. But beyond that, he has a record called Vice City. If you go and listen to it right now, that nigga can rhyme his ass off too.
No, he can't
rhyme. All of these dudes, truth be told, the cats that are like really kind of leading that sound at this moment actually have the ability to rap. And the thing is that they have that ability, they can show that ability. But that ain't what's making bread.
Because
that's not
what's getting
them right. That's not what's getting them notoriety right now. Because like, if you sit back at the, and there's no diss to the dude, but like, nigga, I'm not listening to a Talib Kweli record in a club.
No.
And that's not no knock to Talib.
How do you think? How do you think?
Rapping wise.
And how do you think that? And I've said this before, and people, nobody ever takes this the way that I mean it when I say it, but it's just the way I feel about it. Is that I've said that I feel like Kendrick is the Nas of this era.
Nope.
But here's my rationale when I say that. Like people look at it and they say it's kind of a, like I'm trying to diss anybody when I say that. But I say is that when I say it respectfully, because I feel like Kendrick does songs that he knows is going to sell, and he's going to do them, and they're still good. But I feel like if you really just said, Kendrick, you can do whatever you want to do, it wouldn't be anything like what you hear on the radio now.
Nas would not be able to breathe in this era right now.
Well, but
I don't know. But
no, I'm not saying because I'm saying people wouldn't be able to dig deep though. They want to be in the what? How many Nas club songs though are there?
Dude, let's check it out. This is what I'm getting to. I can't accept that. Reason being is because if we're being honest here, Kendrick Lamar is a better songwriter than Nas is.
Okay.
He is a better, like an actual, like beyond I'm rapping my ass off, because Kendrick will rap his ass off. But how often is Kendrick just rapping his ass off and there's not actual artistry within what the hell he's doing? So if you're listening to a record like Sing For Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, where he's telling three different stories about three different people that died in some form or fashion, with two different people. And then him basically kind of like narrating what the fuck just happened at the end. But basically, think about that. He's rapping the fuck out of these records. But you're hearing the story of somebody talking to him right before they died. And it was one of the most moving records that I've ever heard in my life, dog. Like,
yeah, but you can go to Nas, though. I get
you. You can go to Nas, but the thing is, dog, like, I'm being real. As a person who was there at the peak of Nas, as a person who's here with the peak of Kendrick, what Kendrick is doing right now, truth, song-wise, artistry-wise, he is, what he's doing with his vocals, in the actual mixing process, how he's keeping your attention, what he's crafting that is an actual song. To Pimp a Butterfly as a actual musical piece itself is amazing. And I understand why people think, oh, it's too deep. And I believe that people who didn't get into it do not listen to music that much, because that shit was like that much hip-hop and the rest of that shit was jazz. This shit was damn near business, bro. Damn near.
Yeah, no,
like,
no.
We're keeping it a stack here. We're talking about, like, if he can combine business, bro, and fucking Parliament Funkadelic, fucking Maggot Brain and some shit like that into one album. Yeah, that's what the album. Yeah, this is what the hell he did. Like, this dude gave you basically damn near everything that wasn't hip hop, and he just so happened to be rapping over it. At some points, he was singing over it, and he threw you the bone here with "All Right." You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he threw you the bone with the, you know what I'm saying? I've been you niggas boo boo. Like, he threw you the bone on those drums, but the rest of that shit, nigga, that was art, dog. That wasn't. That had nothing. That had very little to do with him rapping his ass off, and everything to do with the fact that he is painting this fucking picture for you and this narrative and this story going from the beginning to end. I cannot, as much as I've listened to Nas, give him that same credit, and that's no knock to
Nas. I said Nas doesn't have many singles, or
right, Nas doesn't have it, and that's not to say that Nas.
And Nas is my favorite MC.
Bro, listen to me. I am a student of that man.
I'm an absolutely fucking
student. Him, Cool G, Kane, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are dudes that I studied because, like, I wanted to know.
The only song you play with Nas, I feel, in general, is hanging out in the club though right now, where people would be talking.
That would be the only one.
That's it. I mean, you have nothing else though.
But I also feel as if.
But there's different levels to this rap game though. At the same time though,
I feel as if that was never his aim. Because I also
that was like, it because that was Steve Stout got him to end up doing that fucking Hate Me Now.
And that's what I'm saying. My thing is that Nas at that point was doing what the fuck he wanted. And regardless of how much we might feel or say shit like, oh, that nigga can't pick beats, or a different type of shit like that, at the end of the day, can you name any other artist that did what the fuck they want from beginning to end?
And didn't give a fuck.
You can't, like, seriously, think about every rapper in the game. You can't name but a few that literally did what they wanted. And he gave us a whole career of I'm doing me.
Yeah.
You can say what you want, but that is respect.
I want to get into what we were talking about earlier, though. You were talking about how people not living living for where they at though, or what living for, like, what they makes them happy though, and not becoming a job. And you were talking about a conversation and we cut you off. I want to bring that in right now.
Yeah, no, because I was talking with one of the homies, man, Teresa Payne, like one time for my
homie. Shout out to Teresa Payne though, man. Yeah, dope singer, man.
Listen to me, she be all over my shit. Like, we got so many
drinks. I need to get on the podcast. You need to hook us up and get on the podcast.
I'll text her right now, man. That's nothing. But yeah, like, talking with her at a birthday party, I was talking with one of her band members. And he was just like, man, I enjoy my day job. He was like, I could be touring, I could be doing all these different things, but I don't want this to become a job. I don't want this to be a situation where I'm chasing this fame, and whatever it is of my version of success is to the point where this does not become fun for me. Me sitting there, whenever I feel like it, I'm paying my bills, but whenever I feel like getting on that stage, playing this music, that's fun for me. And I can go back and go to my job and do my thing. But I don't want it to be a situation where I'm in pursuit of something. Because at that point, if I don't gain it, I'll go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to sit back and think about it. It's like, dude, when you think about a lot of these cats, man, when they making music, man, we all got the same goal. It's to get signed to a major, you know what I'm saying, make this album, go platinum, win a Grammy. Like, that's like the stereotypical, the line. And the problem with that is that not everybody's going to reach that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that you won't, or to shoot low, But the thing is that, dude, what makes you happy about this? Like, don't go for what somebody else's happiness is. What honestly will make you feel content about doing what it is that you do? What's your level of success? Because if you're going chasing somebody else's level of success, it's now a job. You're now in this absolute pursuit of this thing that might not be suited for you. And that's not to say to not reach for the stars. By all means, reach for the highest thing you're supposed to reach for. But you don't necessarily know what comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get it, can you handle it?
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? And it, like motherfuckers say, bro, it's one thing to buy a Ferrari, and it's another thing to be able to go to handle the upkeep on a Ferrari. Can you handle them $1,000 oil changes? You know what I'm saying? Them $4,000 tires. You know that you got to change like every few months. Like, can you handle that? No, you can't. Then why are you buying a $300,000 vehicle?
Man.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, just to flex. And that makes absolutely no sense. People think they want to be a star until it comes to the point where they actually are a star. And they realize, damn, this is whack. You finally been chasing all of these labels to get into, and you finally get a label in front of you and sign that deal and realize, damn, I can't make music when I want to and put it out however the fuck I want to. I've lost my freedom. And now I got a ton of people taking a percentage of every single song that I make. And I'm barely seeing any of this.
And before you know it, you Kesha.
And before you know it, you're in a situation like that. That's the absolute truth. Because, dude, you have to sit there and think about the type of deal that she signed, dog. Nigga, Kesha at one point was on every song on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Kesha looked like that?
Listen to me, dog. Kesha, if it wasn't her actual record, she was on the hook on damn near every record that was on top 40.
And now she can't even do a live show.
Because of the way her shit is set up, dog. And that's
she can't do a live show because they own the rights to her thing to even perform it.
Think about it like this, bro. Last time you saw Lauryn Hill, did she do all of the records for Miseducation?
No.
Exactly. And the reason being for that is because somebody owns that album. If she does those records, they have to know the track listing. Those people get paid from that. She doesn't want them people to get paid.
Is that why she remixes the tracks though too?
That's another reason why she remixes it, dudes. You have to keep in mind, a lot of these places, these venues are all owned by radio stations. So Live Nation, excuse me, iHeartRadio. Live Nation, iHeartRadio,
really, the same thing.
They are all like, dude, when you see things like, okay, yeah, this is the set list, they have to turn that in. That's a check. Every time if my song is registered, not before, that's a check. So every time she doo-wop that thing, that's a check. And a lot of some of those places actually have recorders where they can actually hear the music. That's a check. So if she doesn't perform it, you can't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the absolute truth. So that's why a lot of people go to the show and be disappointed. Like, damn, I wanted to hear this.
Well, that's
like
what, and that's why you get that. Damn, once again, to bring it back around to where we were at probably an hour or so ago now. That's why people went to Prince shows for so long when he was in that dispute with
Warner.
With Warner. He wouldn't perform the songs that people came to see. And they say, you never know what you're going to get from a Prince show because Prince ain't trying to feed these people.
No, that's the thing, dog. They're enslaving me, dude. And what I'm about to give them some more money so they can keep enslaving me? That's exactly why he did that. And that's another part of his genius. And that's another part of the point I was bringing because of the things that he did. Like, here's the point. That one album that he did that went platinum where he had everybody buy the tickets to the album. When it came to the show, he gave them a CD.
Musicology.
Thank you. He gave him a CD, and that's how it went platinum. Everybody walked out of
and
there
and they stopped doing it. He was the one that fucked up the whole game when they
right. Like, all the he gave him the album when they walked in the door. Everybody walked out with music on the CD. That bitch went platinum. That's genius. That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Or case in point, man, we talk about this at the job all the time, bro. The finesse move that Frank Ocean pulled on Universal. Amazing. So, if y'all remember, not too long ago, there was a bunch of all of these people doing these one-off exclusive deals with these streaming companies. Oh, exclusive to Tidal, exclusive to Apple Music, exclusive to Spotify. And they were doing these deals. And so basically, if you remember when Frank Ocean was doing this project, we knew this album was coming. He knew that he owed the label one more album. So what he did was is that he dropped that pre-album that came out. He made them pay for the whole budget for the whole project. He dropped that pre-album that wasn't his actual album. But that was the last album that he owed for Universal. And the Blonde album, he put that out independently.
And made a double album, quote unquote, a double album.
Universal, I just gave you your project just to get it pumped up for Blonde. Y'all gave me the budget to pay for this whole big time ass album, and I'm gonna put it out independently and pocket all the money. Thank you.
And see, and that's the thing. I mean, and that's the thing you have to do with the business. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Because I mean, when you have businesses that are so set up to profit off of the work that you do,
absolutely,
and to make it favorable in their end, but to make it as I think constitutionally favorable is what I try to say. On your side, that's it. Here's the thing I listen to. Like this.
We're about to get deep on this.
Have you ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I listened to a podcast about how Larry David put that together and how he said, I'll do this, but I don't want this network involved in it. I'm not running scripts past you. I'm not doing any of these things.
Gonna
anything
me,
like
I'm
going
to do me when the fuck I feel.
I'm not writing a show. I'm going to write an outline, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to see where it lands.
Right.
Like, that is setting down the law the way you can. The unfortunate thing about it is that most of the time in order to do that, we believe we have to make Seinfeld first.
You got
to
get dirty to get clean. I know exactly what it is that you're saying. That's another one of my favorite sayings. Was just having this conversation. Just like I said, when you hit me to do this show, I was just having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get all extremely deep and completely woke and pro-black in this joint, but y'all got me here. I'm off this vodka. Fuck it. Check this out. All right? Us as black people, we have the tendency to continue to run to the hands of the white man with our art, thinking that it will bring us acceptance and salvation. We are the creators of the cool. We are the creators of everything entertainment, everything that is great and wonderful about everything that brings us happiness in the world. We create. And for whatever reason, we continue to allow the white man to monetize what it is that we create. They sell us. They sell us, bro. We don't sell us. We ain't making the majority off the shit. They sell us. Think about everything you like. Baseball, basketball, football, music. All of this shit is predominantly us. And who's selling it? Who's signing the checks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you
what. And we, for whatever reason, continue to run to them for their acceptance for some shit that we're making the money for. Like we were talking about with Diddy with that damn tweet talking about some let me buy the NFL. Why? Why do you want to buy the NFL?
Why? On the last show, we had this conversation here where the guy sent in the email to us saying, you know, why don't we start these leagues? Why don't we take these things? Why don't we just do our own thing?
I'm going to tell you why.
But here's what my point was. What I said about it is that the difference between what we have right now, and in my opinion, and I wanted us to get in the middle of this in here, is that we have all of these abilities and all of these things. And in some ways, we have flipped the system to be able to integrate ourselves into them and to make it work. But my thing about it is that I said this, was it a post? It was on the post that we talked about on Facebook earlier this week, where I said, hey, we need to have a give me the scenario again that you had there.
Basically,
you had a black
situation.
You
right,
said we need to have a black sports league.
Yeah, no, not even a black sports league. My thing was this was after like the second incident with Jemele Hill over at ESPN. And number one, shout outs to her. Shout outs to everybody that's supporting her over within the journalists, as well as the talking heads that deal with all these different networks that are banding with her. But basically, my whole aspect was this. We need to have black journalists and black reporters creating a black sports network. And my opinion was stated that we needed to have this funded by black athletes.
Right.
Now, when Matt stated, and that's understandable, is basically saying that he's with that, but he would not want it because that's a conflict of interest by having black athletes within there. I feel like that can be combated. That just needs to be money to actually get everything started. But if you're getting equal funds from all of these different, you know what I'm saying, venues, different players from different leagues and different teams, it can't necessarily be a conflict of interest if everybody bands together in a pool.
Well, and what my level of contesting that in is saying is that I think that we have more than enough black industry in this country to support something like that, but we have a
fundamental problem with reinvesting in ourselves before we understand how it's going to benefit us.
I'm going to tell you.
As opposed to saying,
check it out.
Put the money behind this because it's going to turn around. And if there's anybody whose history we need to study about how it is that you can build up your own people within a system that's built for you to fail, look at what the Jews have done.
Thank you. Listen to me, dog. And that's not an anti-Semitic.
Not at all. That's,
I have to make sure that
No, because some Jews do think it's anti-Semitic when we say that.
That's not anti-Semitic. That's not anti-Semitic. And I'm not.
And my Jewish best friend, though, shout out to you, Brent. I like I told you all the time, no, I'm not a member of a broke Jewish person.
In my opinion, Jewish Americans are the most successful minority in America in my book. Not yet. Jewish people
are
not doing this.
Jews are still white, though, because you still walk around and you're still
listen,
a Jew.
We're not about to listen.
Check this out.
Because I went to Parkway School District, which was majorly Jewish. So I have a bunch of Jewish friends. I went to a ton of bar.
But they look white though. You walk in the spot.
You gotta let the optics go.
Because at the end of the day, you're talking about a situation where there are a group of people who were completely held down by the system, murdered. You understand what I'm saying? And not only that, they built themselves upon themselves, dog, and they continue to allow their wealth to circulate within them. At the end of the day, when I'm telling you this right now, from knowing, I don't know a broke Jewish
person. That's what I said to my friend Brent.
Exactly. I don't know. And the thing about it is that because they know the system and they stick amongst their people, because they realize what the struggle is, they're going to have to give up something in order for this to be great at the end of the day. And my problem with us is the fact that we're so terrified at having to give up or to sacrifice something in order to be great. That kills us.
But that goes to me and my whole thing, you know, I was talking about like having a union on the NFL. Don't use like, no, I ain't giving my money up to nothing. To put my money in and make sure everybody cool.
And the reason why I say that I wouldn't do that is because I know there wouldn't be an equitable return. The difference in what the Jewish people have been
But that's able the thing, though. Because my whole thing is me and Matt had a big debate, though, before we started the show, though, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why don't the NFL players just throw in like, all right, everybody throwing like 5-10% of your payment onto this kitty. And then if we do go on strike, though, everybody can still get a little bit of money out of this, though, and make sure they sell
what they have. But ain't that what the NFLPA is for?
Yeah. No, they don't get no money. That's what motherfuckers fold.
But the thing
they
is,
fold all the time. That's why NBA is a better union than the NBA.
It ain't the fact that it's a better union. It is a better union. But the problem is, number one, NFL does not have guaranteed contracts. That kills them. Point blank, period. So it's sitting there and saying, okay, yeah, our union needs to be doing better. They ain't got the money to do it. You ain't got no guaranteed contracts that's going to say that you're going to, for that $25 million you signed
up
for 3 years.
If you want to look at it, you're going to get your signing bonus up front. But if we're going to, all right, so first of all, we need to abandon looking at either the NBA or the NFL for what it takes to be a successful union. Major League Baseball has cornered the market and how for players the market,
because they have no drive themselves.
But yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, there is. Don't believe that.
But not to say that. But even with that, still at the end of the day, you look at somebody like what's my dude, Dave? Play for the Yankees, legendary Yankee, black dude,
Derek Jeter.
No, not Derek Jeter. Dave.
Dave Winfield.
Yes. Three sports. Oh, two or three. He could have won pro in.
Three. He got drafted in all three. Only person that
NBA, football, baseball. Mm-hmm. Got drafted in all three, okay? He chose baseball because not only the longevity within the career, he could make more money. Mm-hmm. We could be looking at Dave playing basketball or Dave on that football field.
You wouldn't remember him.
But he could have easily went pro in all three of them. Without question. Not even the question.
And Dave is still making money to this day off of baseball.
To this day off of baseball. Like you stated, they have it cornered. But the thing about all of this is, and this is what I am trying to say here. My major point here is that all of these sports, or except for baseball, are predominantly black. Mm-hmm. You look at Jerry Jones, Roger Goodell, and that fucking press thing that he just sent out, telling people, oh, y'all.
Shout out to that, because I got an article dropping on Clash Content tomorrow where I took that article and rewrote it. by the paragraph I rewrote,
I want to see that. Listen, but what I'm saying is that you're looking at all of these white men who are not on the floor, who are not out there risking their lives, risking possibly getting CTE, risking turning your ACL, risking breaking your fucking neck from a head-to-head collision, and they're not giving you guaranteed contracts, but they want you to bleed on that field every damn night. And you better do it for this non-guaranteed money, because guess what? It's two or three other people on the same roster that's willing to take your position right now. Like, you have to sit back and think about it, bro. Certain people, you have to realize, as black men, as black women who run these sports, who run this entertainment, we are the creators. So if we decide to take our ball and go home, what the fuck do you have left? Why are you running to these white dudes' hands in order to get this salvation? Why are you so scared of sacrificing? And that's been my issue in all of this situation, is that you got these people telling you that you can't kneel. You got these people telling you that you can't turn your back. You can't do all of these different things. And motherfucker, you are the reason why all 30,000 of these people are in this stadium. Why do you not actually dictate?
And for me, when I look at that, when I look at what's happening with the NFL model right now, the thing that has to happen is that Colin, a guy I've met, a guy I've talked with for an hour, a guy that I know isn't the guy they paint him out to be. It's because I interviewed him for an article. I mean, but I sat there and I talked to him, and I probably only used 20 minutes of the 60-minute conversation of the whole thing there. And I just know, like, the beautiful thing about what I do is I get an opportunity to get to meet a sample shot of these people and hear what they really think and what they really know about, and like kind of to get a little bit of the context of them. Because once you get an interview rolling, here's the rule: if you can get past the first 15 minutes of an interview, you can get an hour out of it.
Yep.
Because they're willing to talk to you at that point. They're willing to go. So, man, and that's what happened with me and Colin. I'll never forget it. My mentor, John Hicks, was rest in peace. He was part of that conversation, and we had that. It was like one of the most unique conversations of my life. So when all this stuff came up, I immediately knew to throw the flag up and said, this isn't the guy that you're... this guy isn't the guy that you're trying to say that he is. But I say all that to say about Colin is that Colin did what he could do, and Colin, even at the peak of his ability, was still a developmental guy. There has to be, if you really want to test a gangster, if you really want to test the gangster of these cats, it's going to take somebody defying them who has the ability to truly rock their business model.
But that's what I'm talking about. My thing is that you got, that can do that. You got, but it's so many.
There's no NFL player can do that.
No, there's one in Wisconsin. Because
no. Who can?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers?
If he decided that he was going to sit down, Mark Murphy wouldn't do shit about it. No, but
that's not a damn thing. Listen, bro, you're going to tell me right now.
Because NBA players are more identifiable as a single individuals more than NFL players are.
But if you want...
LeBron James did that, let's say Russell Westbrook did that, it can shake up the league.
But here's the biggest problem that
there's no individuality in NFL.
And I'm going to go in a separate direction here with that, is I'm glad you brought up the NBA, because one thing that's really bothered me that's happened during this whole NFL strike...
just ride on the back.
It was what?
Adam Silver just like, oh, no.
No, it's not about that. It's about that. It's that the NBA has been incorrectly been made into being the hero of this entire thing. Say, you know what? I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm just saying I'm reading these things and I'm seeing the people that are saying this. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why I made a statement on Facebook not too long ago where I said, y'all might have seen it, where I said, if you're going to protest the NFL, you have to protest all these other bad things, discriminatory things about these other leagues too, because they do these same things. So while I'm not saying I don't agree with pointing out what's bad, I didn't get to my point yet. So my thing about it is, if you're going to make this thing about that, you also need to point out the fact that the NBA doesn't even allow its players to protest. It doesn't allow them. It's in the bylaws of the league that you cannot do it. That myself, when I look at that, so if you open up the NBA in a week and a half or whenever the NBA starts, if let's say James Harden, I'm not saying he would do it or he wouldn't do it, mm-hmm. takes a knee, he could be suspended.
But the difference is what you're saying is that when I can go to my press conference though and act a nut of fool though, because
I'm not saying that you can't. What I'm trying to say, not to cut you off.
NBA is way more because I'm a person, identified person though. You don't know who fucking Odell Beckham is the most iconic person because his hair.
Listen,
is that because of anything else? If you know Dez Bryant, if you saw him outside. Mookie Blaylock though.
I hear what you're saying, but that goes back to what I'm initially talking about. the fact that it's going to take somebody monumental to do that. But the thing is that cats have to risk it. You're going to get suspended. It's going to be some sacrificial lambs in this situation. Like the fucking boycott Montgomery. You think some people didn't go without having to go to job or didn't lose their jobs in the process?
I'll bump back on you though, Van, because Montgomery boycott was a very special situation, very special circumstantial situation that was set up for that situation. I don't think it ever happened again, though, regardless of what we do to all those people. Period.
This is my thing. It can
be. We can't do that, though.
It can be on a greater scale. And my whole thing, the reason why I'm saying this, bro, is that it's going to literally take a level of unity. It's going to take a level of being willing to sacrifice and willing to put it on the line in order for us to see any form of change. And change does not come by a couple of people doing it and folks watching them do it. You got to be okay with losing your job. You got to be okay with getting hit in the mouth. You got to be okay with possibly dying. Like, that's the only way that this gets fixed. Everybody in our situation, with us as black people, we are terrified of losing our jobs, our incomes, our wages.
Because we're more American than being black.
Thank you. And my whole thing in this situation is, like, I can't knock anybody for feeling that fear. Because, dog, you have to realize, to be black in America and to have a job in America is difficult. You having to code switch. You having to walk this fine line and not shake the table.
But also on top of that, though, you know, even a deeper aspect of it is that we look at our civil rights leaders and the people that were on the cusp of everything in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Though, they end up dying broke and shit.
They did end up dying
so broke. So people look at that like, all them Black Panthers, exactly. All them people in the SCLC, all them people in the NAACP, Martin was broke, fucking Malcolm was broke, everybody was broke.
All of them died broke. You're right. But all of them died broke to gain freedoms that we do have right now. Unfortunately, I'm going to be real with you. The shit we do got to fight for at this moment ain't nothing that we're going to reap. Our kids will. And that's just the absolute truth here. And that's just what it ain't. Everything you're fighting for right now, you ain't going to see none of that shit.
And that's the truth. And here's something. This is a conversation. Once again, I brought him up, I think, 3 times on the show. We need to have him on. Me and my father talked about one time years ago. This show's long. That'd be like back when I was still employed in live radio. But no, we'll do that. We'll have him one day. But anyway, though, like the thing about it is that we took the liberties that my parents' generation created for us, the opportunities, not the liberties, not the right word. Mm-hmm. That we took the opportunities that my parents' generation, that were adults during the civil rights movement, that had these things going on during that, we took that and we took those things to make a better pathway for us so that things would be better for our kids than it was for us when we were kids during that. But mm-hmm. Here is the error that we made during that time is that we stopped serving the greater good and we started only serving ourselves. And the problem is what has happened now is that we've gotten money and we have run for the hills. Mm-hmm. Or we've moved away from our communities. Mm-hmm. We've left where we need to go.
The civil rights movement wasn't for...
Who's going to care more? Who's going to care more about...
People don't want to say that.
Who's going to care more about the neighborhood that you grew up in than you?
True.
Not going to be the person that moves into it after you.
Even if the thing, though, man.
But wait. I want to make this whole point. Yeah. I want to make this whole point. Is that it's not going to be the person that moves into your house after you leave, even if they are black.
Right.
It's not going to be the person that has a financial interest in that area because they've invested in it. It's going to be you because you were poor there, you've made money since you were there, and now you have the ability to make sure that there's not another you there. And that is the biggest problem that we have as black people in America in this generation is that we have the access that our parents' generation got through the sacrifices that our grandparents' generation made, but we decided to adopt the ways of the 80s, of capitalism, of investing in ourselves and being able to say, I got my money, I'm moving to the county. Or I'm moving to Atlanta, or I'm moving to New York, or I'm moving to LA. I'm not going to stay in St. Louis because I can't go out and party here. I'm not going to have as much fun as I can have here. I want to be in Vegas. I want to do all of that. But you know what doesn't matter at all?
Right.
is all of that partying and all that fun you have if the same if half of your family is still struggling back in St. Louis and you're the one that made it out and you could have helped the community? Maybe you aren't giving them money. You shouldn't give them money. You don't give people money. You take care of your own, but you don't give people handoffs without them taking that handout and reinvesting themselves. But here's the thing you do is that you go up to your high school, which is half a block from my house right here, and you show those kids that, hey, I was right here. I did something with myself. You did that, but that's not fun, and that's not exciting to me, right. And that's not a good thing. We as black people are so fucking hung up on what's fun, convenient, and exciting that we don't want to realize that we're only three generations away from people that were fucking dirt broke poor, and we want to live with people that have never, ever, ever been underneath the curve because they're setting the fucking curve. So yeah, if we're going to set the curve, we have to understand that, yes, we have the ability and the access to move up, but we need to keep our fucking feet in the dirt a little longer to pull some people out of the fucking water with
Listen
us.
Listen to me. Everything you're saying is absolute gospel. Real shit. No, everything you're saying is absolute gospel. He just gave the word. Like, and that goes back to what it is that I'm saying. It's what your level of success, what success is to you. And people are in such pursuit of that. You know what I'm saying? They completely lose them.
The problem is we decide that we've made it when we make it, not when we as a people make it.
But also goes back to Civil Rights Movement, because Civil Rights Movement, I feel in general, on a bigger score, was built for people that already had money to want to be the spending money of white people.
Right.
Look at it on a bigger level, though. But that goes back to what you just said, though. I'm saying, like, we just wonder, like, oh, we all down, though. Oh, well, shit, a couple of us get free, though. Well, shit, fuck it then, you know. We did this shit for, I can go move to North County. You know what I'm saying? I moved to West County.
This my thing, bro. Like, you sit back and look at shit right now. Like, you look at people that got so many issues with everybody here shutting down the highway, shutting down the malls, mm-hmm. like going into these white establishments and making and disrupting things.
Disrupt that shit.
And they got all shit to say. But guess where the fuck you at? On your couch, watching TV, at your job.
Talking shit about
talking you. Shit. Ain't doing a goddamn thing. You ain't disrupting nothing. You ain't making no name, no noise, no nothing. But you got everything to say about somebody that made it a bit inconvenience for you to actually get to your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to take. It's going to take you... Risk
but see,
it's
the thing, though, man. Like, you know, people understand, it, like, when it comes to all them boycotts, there was always a nigga that was sitting there like, this is fucked up.
Oh, yeah,
And you know, the only time I've ever felt anything about the protests at all had nothing to do with me, because I'm going to be fine. Yeah, I'm going to be okay. It's going to take a task to put my head on the ground. Right. But when people do things where I say my 60-year-old mother could be at risk, because not because of what we're doing as a people, because the people that are supposed to be protecting us decided that we're taking out everything that looks that way, that bothers me. And I've had people get mad at me when I said, don't start shit in the Galleria because my mom's works there. Mm-hmm. Don't start shit because I don't want y'all. You ain't down with the cause? And I say... The cause is always going to be secondary to the person that brought me to this earth.
Right.
But I'm not talking about it being like it's an A to Z thing. Right. This could be an A to B thing, but A is always going to be A. And that's another problem I have is that we still haven't shook off the mindset of the fact that we're so ready to fight each other if we don't agree with each at the letter of what we all are saying. When if you really want to make progress, let's sort that shit out later. Let's figure out the degrees to which people are involved here. Because as many soldiers as you need colonels. And you need people that are doing PR. Need all of that. Because you're not going to overturn a system simply by pushing against it. Because while you're pushing against the wall, somebody might find a door to walk through it.
Exactly. And I'm with that. The problem in the situation is finding the unity. But it goes back to sacrifice.
But don't we have to be open to looking for unity first?
Listen, you have to be open to looking for unity. You could want black unity, but you at the end of the day, okay, I want all black people to get along. Okay, cool, fantastic, great. What are you willing to sacrifice? And at the end of the day, it's like you look at Bloods and Crips. Bloods and Crips, all in a situation when they started off of a murder that built into this thing.
Yes.
And to this point now where they can't turn their backs on it. Not to say that it ain't Bloods that get along with Chris, this, that, and the other, but it was all rooted off of one single thing that turned into this. You're looking at Israel and Palestine. Like, all of this rooted off of this one single thing. What? It's going to take the sacrifice of nigga, I took an L, you took an L. We got to stop.
You know what brings people together in this place? Because no matter how much we dispute it, or how much we look at it and we don't want to recognize, and I made this point in the piece that'll be out tomorrow about how you don't tell me to honor and respect a flag if we're only going to pay attention to parts of it. But here's the thing. The only thing that ever truly brings together people on both sides of the gradient, unfortunately, is an unspeakable tragedy. In my life, yeah. The only time I've ever seen people in this country be united 9/11. Was 9/11. And you know what people were united under? The guise of fear.
Yep.
And you know what? Revenge doesn't bring people together.
No.
Anger doesn't bring people together.
Yeah.
The only time I've truly seen, at least in my spirit, all black people be united, 2008. November 2008.
Trayvon Martin?
No. Barack Obama being elected to the Barack White House. That's it. Black people weren't united on Trayvon Martin.
No, I agree.
Absolutely not. But when Barack Obama got elected to the White House, from the vision that I could see, the viewpoint I had, all black people were together. We have to stop allowing only extremes to mobilize us to action. Because when things seem calm, like they did in the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s, that's when you need to be working the hardest. Not when you're already down. You don't need to be making the best plays when you're down by 30. You need to be trying to get up by 30 and stay up by 30. And that's what I say about what I look at, what a lot of what the Jewish American culture has accomplished, is that they've gotten up by 30 and decided, shit,
we gonna stay up.
Let's get up by 40. You know?
Right, for real. But no,
but the Jewish people also have the same plight we had.
Dude, we not about to judge plights and all this stuff.
Well, I'm not judging a plight by a shade of your skin.
Plights in no form or fashion, because at the end of the day, brother, the Holocaust was fucking ridiculous. And I don't give a fuck. I listen, but no, bro. You not about to sit here in this situation and belittle that.
I don't give a shit how much we continue.
But this is what I'm saying, is that I don't give a shit how much it is that we still, to this day right now, deal with as black men, as black women, regardless, at the end of the day, I'm looking at them as the blueprint. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that this isn't something that we cannot accomplish, because
very possible.
Matter of fact, we can be even better at it. Because at the end of the day, I don't know any famous Jewish athletes. I don't know any famous super Jewish
Bill Goldberg.
You got Goldberg. One of my favorite wrestlers.
Sandy Koufax.
But you're pulling somebody out. You're pulling them out. We're talking about in droves right now. There is not a major sport. There is not a major piece of entertainment that is completely dominated by the Jewish community. And that's not going to say that they cannot.
You know what? I'm going to dispute you there. You know what they dominate?
What?
The boardroom in Hollywood.
In Hollywood.
I'm not saying that they do not, but you're talking about sellers.
And hip-hop too on the logo too.
Creators. Sellers and creators. You were talking about people in the boardroom.
But the creators are never going to be the sellers, man.
No, that's where you're wrong. That's the
problem. When has it ever been like that?
But
like,
wait a minute.
That's the problem.
Yes.
But it's that. White or black, though, it's never been like that.
That's the problem. That is my whole point in this situation, is that we are the creators of this. And the fact that we have not monetized our own shit.
But we're in the same way, though.
The creators aren't
the monetizers either on their side.
Dude, that's all happens in this situation. They are the monetizers. They have figured out a way.
Why don't you get dicked out on that too, though, man?
Country music is the highest grossing mm-hmm. form of music in music mm-hmm. right now that is ran by white people.
You said creators.
And I'm telling you, you're acting as if this is not possible. To put an album on TuneCore right now costs $50. That $50 will put you on every single streaming service known to man, not only within the United States, but all over the world. If you are a known artist and you spend $50 to put your album on there and you're known,
okay,
you would sell thousands of copies that you would get 100% of the profits of. Okay. They do not do this on purpose because they don't want to do the work, not because we can't.
Okay,
we
so don't. Here's the thing I'm going to say about that is that because somebody does that, who owns that company? Who owns the company in which you pay that $50?
Check it out. I got the answer to that shit too. iTunes, Spotify, all of these different companies do not allow you to solely, hey, I'm going directly to you at Apple. I'm about to put my album on your shit. You have to either A, have a name, or B, your label has to have at least 100 releases within the past, I think 10 or so something years. So that's the way this is
you,
done.
Is you, your shit's on iTunes?
Yeah, my shit's on iTunes, but I have to go through TuneCore. I have to do that because that's the way that I'm doing it. Unfortunately, I'm not sauced up like that. I'm not a Jay. I'm not a Rick. I'm not.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but your shit's on iTunes, though. You don't. You're independent, though.
I'm independent, but what I'm saying is that all of this is possible. All of this is possible. You have to want to do the work to do that. That's the key to it, is that everybody wants to do all of these different things, but they don't want to do the work. Talking about case in point, when we was bringing back to Diddy, talking about, sell me the NFL. Let's be real. Impossible. Will not happen. But the reality of this is that you got enough. Dude, you can't tell me who the hell the owner of the Tennessee Titans is right now off the top of your head. You might be able to.
I know that one.
Exactly. But that motherfucker owns the Tennessee Titans.
Now I want to know.
Now you want to know. You can't tell me who the actual owner is of that. You can't tell me who the owner of the Texans is. But you can tell me who the fuck Diddy is. Diddy can fucking go to fucking any fucking small country in somewhere in Europe, and motherfuckers will know who the fuck Diddy is. That man not only has riches, but he has power. He is way more powerful than any fucking owner in the NFL. Why the fuck did you want to buy the NFL?
Yeah, a lady owns the Titans.
There you go. There's a lady that owns the Titans. None of us knew that. And what I'm trying to say in this situation is that we are not only the creators of the cool, but we have the ability to monetize this.
But I knew her. I know who her dad was. Her dad was Bud Adams, who owned the Oilers, an oil mogul.
Right. So when you put all of these two things together, there's no excuse as to why it is that we continue to run to these different forms of media in different leagues and all of this stuff. When we run it, we are the product that is being sold. Why do we not monetize our product?
I'll say something right now. I'll say this, and I'm already knowing that this is going to be at least a two-part podcast.
I'm sorry, y'all.
So No. It's fine. It's fine. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to decide if we're going to keep this. But here's the thing, is that Jemele Hill, at ESPN, she got released. Yeah. She got released from her daily duties for 2 weeks' time. So she got suspended for 2 weeks' time.
Shout out to Michael Smith, though, who said, I'm not going on either. Because in general, though, as black men, though, we don't ride for black women as much as we should.
Say it.
And Michael Smith has said, he got a family with 3 kids, though.
Say it.
And he said, fuck that, I'm losing my check, too, though.
Say it.
He did it.
No, I'm saying he did it.
But he went on, though.
When did he go on?
To yesterday.
Oh, he went on yesterday? I thought he said it wasn't going on.
No, he went on. He went on, but he was just, like, it was like reading teleprompter news. Like, he didn't give him the shit. Mm-hmm. Like, he just did his thing. So, here's my thing.
That's what I was initially saying.
Here's my thing about it, though, is that when I look at that and I say one of the most dangerous things that we could possibly face in society is the fact that because of the, like, Van Dio point, these people are empowering these people and they're the ones that call the shots,
right,
that you can literally create the narrative by eliminating the voice that provides the content. And that is the thing to me as a journalist that is the most horrifying thing about it is that if you don't have the opportunity to speak, less people hear you. There's no excuse in this day and time for nobody to hear you. You can create your own voice enough in this day and age that somebody will hear you. But if you have a platform and somebody decides to take that platform out from underneath you, unless you're an exception in the exceptional quantity, like a Jemele Hill who's done the work, who's worked her way up, Jemele Hill, who's done her work,
got herself there.
Listen, let me get to the end of the point, and you'll understand why Bill Simmons isn't applicable here. If you are a Jemele Hill or a Michael Smith or a Stephen Alexander, one of those people that have done the work to be a minority that has risen its way up to exceptionally rare levels for a minority voice to be at. You can't do it. Well, yeah, but I can name tons of people, but I'm not going to do the whole roster.
Right.
You know, but I mean, that if you get yourself to that rare level of people that are doing that, that are giving their take, Otherwise, you're always subject to not being able to give your voice. Take myself, for example. Right now, here's a stat about St. Louis sports radio, at least. Or St. Louis, the major broadcast stations in St. Louis, AM, FM. That's not a music-based station. That's right. That is a topical-based station, either sports or a news-based station. Right. Between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., which is the largest media consumption hours of the day on the radio dial, there are two black people on between six stations. Two.
Wow.
Now, I was the one that was in the most listened to spot, but it was said by the owner of the station that I want to bring in all these people. I want to bring in people to drive up ratings. Cool. Do that. That's right. Fine. Do what you need to do to make your dollar.
Right.
But then in the paper, which is, by the way, is where I got most of the developments about what was happening from my employer, because he never spoke to us directly at all, said that if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my kind of people. So when they changed the roster and I had a meeting with his lieutenant, who was my direct report, said, we got to cut a few people, blah, 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 blah. Well, one of them was right back the next day. And the other one never left in the first place because she was on the internet the next day. Love her to death. It's not her fault. I'm not indicting any of my former coworkers either by saying this, because these people are great people and I have nothing to do with them.
Right.
But who's the only person at the end of the day who caught the sickle?
Exactly.
The only black guy I never agreed to lay down to let my words be funneled through anything else other than what I thought.
Absolutely.
And that's what happens. So that right there is a direct example of why I look at what happens with Jemele Hill and I say, this is happening more often than people realize. Right. Everybody knows about Jemele Hill. Only a certain amount of people know about me. Exactly. Is one crime greater or less than the other, though?
Nope.
Not at all.
But it's the fact that it's happening.
But it's the fact of the matter that it's happening. And I guarantee you, you can steer throughout the rest of the country and find tons more me. Now, luckily enough, you're never going to silence me because I've crafted enough of a career for myself otherwise where that's just one outlet, and that's fine. I was on the radio the next day. Actually, I've done more hours on the radio in the last 2 weeks than I had done in the last 3 months while I was still collecting checks from this larger outlet. But the fact of the matter is that that's what happens. And that's how, if you want to talk about a narrative being done in mass media and letting people hear what's really coming from the other side, how that can be censored.
Because
there's a lot of people who aren't going to hear from an African-American about what's going on in the African-American sector.
Right.
And instead, you're just going to hear a lot of people hypothesize about what's going on in the African-American sector. And then the more black voices you take away, the more they get to just decide how things are by what they see as opposed to what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that is inherent massive danger that you see happening not only in things like what's happening with me and what's happening in media, but also what you see happening when every time you see something get repealed from the previous administration.
Mm-hmm.
It is a concentrated effort to erase the blackness that's in society. But you know what you can't erase in society is whiteness. And you know why you can't erase that? Is because they have gone so deep as to make the very roots and fabric of the country be in their image. You know how you do that and make sure that you can't be erased? Make sure that you make a foundation that simply cannot be erased by anybody else's hand other than your own. Period, that's point blank.
Brother, and that is honestly the root of what it is that I'm speaking on. And beyond media, we're talking about business ownership.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about job creation. All of these things, like these people who are these extremely well-off, these wonderfully well-off black men and women within our world, we need to realize who it is that we are. And my thing is, like, we're continuously running to the acceptance of this white hand that is still going to call you a nigga even though you got $2 billion in the bank. Why in the hell are you still looking to get the pat on the back from them? Because you still ain't made it. You still ain't made it. I don't care how much money you got in your account, how much you in this boys club, you still a nigga to them. So when it's all said and done, what does this really matter?
OJ did it.
What are you, exactly, like, what are
OJ
you...
OJ, no, it's OJ fault.
I'm not going to say, like, what...
Blame it on OJ. Shut up. No, I'm serious, blame it on OJ.
But I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, what does it all matter? What have you built? Like, we sit here and, like, dog, we look at fucking the Black Wall Street and the way that them people got bombed and got terrified of doing that shit again. You hear about all the time all of the black neighborhoods that we had here in St. Louis and other cities, and they don't exist anymore. Like, you, and this is not anti anybody, but why in the hell do we not have that for ourselves right now in 2017, flourishing, being great, being amazing? Why do we continue to allow gentrification to take land from us? Why have we not migrated to certain areas? Why do we not own our own land? Why do we not have these major corporations? Why do we not have our own TV channels, our own radio stations, our own media outlets that take care of all of these different sports? Why don't we have our own leagues? Why don't we have all of this shit that belongs to us that they've continued to monetize and make billions of dollars off of? Period. The point is that we do not want to do the work and we do not want to sacrifice. And that is what it's going to take in order for all of these things to be built. And at the end of the day, if we decided to do this tomorrow, you have to be in with the mind state that you will not see the fruits of this shit. You not. This is going to be for your kids. This is going to be for your great-grandkids. You personally will not see the
fruits of this shit. And to that point, and that goes to back to the thing that I was saying about the conversation that I had about the era that preceded us, is that we felt like we came out of the Civil Rights Movement and we had won. We had done.
We made it.
We're good. We're good. And now, I hope, if anything I've seen, will be that the things that have transpired of late and then things that were going on all the while along while we weren't paying attention to it enough, wakes people up to never fall asleep again. And that ain't about the quote-unquote being woke or being aware of anything else. I don't care about that.
Right.
I just hope that everybody understands that now this is where we are. This is blatantly in front of you. This is where we are. Mm-hmm. But if we don't get past the fact that we might have to give a few dollars away we don't see an immediate return on, or if we don't get past the point that, you know, there's going to be things that happen that we aren't going to see a tangible result in our time, and that it, and most importantly, that it can't just be about me and mine. It's got to be us and ours as a people.
It ain't got shit to do with you.
Like, if it, like,
it has nothing to do with you.
And it looks like, because the thing about it is people, the limited mindset says, you know, it's not about me, it's about my kids. Well, that's fine.
That's still you.
Look after your kids, but that's still you. Your children will literally are the biological product of you. So they always are you.
Right.
You have to be willing to invest in us, because as a minority culture and a minority people and a minority count by the simple mathematics of what you're dealing with in the society, you have to be willing to do that. Yeah, I guarantee you, you're not going to go on any job posting board in this city right now, and you're going to go to a thing where you're literally applying to a black company. Why isn't there a black version of a job search board where you're only applying to companies that are black owned? Why aren't we getting the things that are coming into that? Because here's my thing, is I'm not pro-segregation at all. I don't think that that's true progress. I don't think that it's something that has to happen. But at the same time, just like I believe in the NAACP, I believe in NABJ, I believe in the Black Engineer Corps, yeah. I believe in all of these things. Nesby, thank you. I believe in all of these things because we have to have these things to ensure that while we are in the bigger world, we're looking after ourselves. So we have to win on both fronts. But as long as we keep thinking that we need to have black-only things and that the only way to get just to get ahead is to have a black-only this, a black-only that, no, that's not going to – we can't solely get over that way. We have to realize that we use the resources that we have here, that we can create those things, but we need to eliminate the other things and take those things over as well.
But that's the key, dude, because my thing – and I feel what you're saying. I agree to a degree with that, because I've always been a weird person where it's like, okay, why is it that everything that we create, we have to be inclusive? Everything that they have done has always been exclusive, and we've been left
out. And it's been representatively inclusive, a la affirmative action, a la the Rooney Rule, a la give people a chance.
But what I'm saying to you is that representative in what it actually is.
Two completely different things. I hate the Rooney Rule. I hate the Rooney Rule.
But what I'm saying to you is this, is that we've gotten enough to where it is that we've dealt with that. We've had to maneuver amongst that.
Yeah.
Why can't we have our own for at least a second? We can be inclusive after a while, but why the fuck are we the ones that we got to play fair? Why do we got to, oh, hey, man, we got this. Come on over here, guys. Let's show you exactly what it's about unity and about respecting us. But they respected our ancestors. They ain't respecting nobody. And that's not hate to any of these white people or anything like that. But my thing is, at the end of the day, right now, we need some shit that's ours. We need some shit that is solely ours. And at that point, once we've built our foundation to the level of what it is that it can't be penetrated, where you can't come in and destroy it or knock the head off this and completely everybody else within that situation completely fall, when you can't do that, then yeah, we'll go ahead and let you win. But y'all need to feel exactly what it's like to not have us involved in your shit and see exactly why it is that we're this powerful. And at that point, take the power away from there. At that point, yeah, we'll then be inclusive. At that point, once you realize, respect what it is that we are. Because you're not going to respect my skin. I'm going to be a nigga to you forever. But you, as you stated, you're going to respect power. You're going to respect fear.
People always respect power and fear. They always respect money, and they'll always respect things that they can't do on their own.
Exactly. Always. And so at the end of the day, the key to this is actually recognizing the power that's within you. Black man, black woman, that's sitting there working at this job, that's playing with this basketball, this football, that's getting all this. Recognize the power that is within you. Bro, they want to be you. They want to monetize what it is that you make. They want you. So with that being stated, realize that there's a sacrifice that you're going to have to make in order to flip those tables.
Van, where can they get your album at?
No, that's what I said. What's the single? Because I'm going to put the single in.
Oh, man, welcome back, man.
Why don't you walk in the song we're about to play right now?
The joint is Welcome Back, man, produced by myself, man. Just basically, you know what I'm saying? Well,
produced by myself.
Was produced by me, you know what I'm saying? And it's just me just getting back to it, letting y'all know who it is. And if you didn't know who I was, and for folks that did know, it sounds just like the dude that you ain't heard in a long time. And yeah, you can get it literally like this coming Monday. Every streaming service, Tidal, Spotify, Google Music, Apple Music, all of these different things, you can actually go ahead and stream it come Monday. But I prefer, because that is going straight to my daughter, if you actually purchase the product.
Buy it, man.
Buy it. Like, I'm not Drake right now. I'm not one of those dudes who can sit there and get a billion spins and that equates to the same amount as actual record sales. For the indie cats who are still trying to make it crack right now, those levels still are not equated. So purchasing the actual product itself helps me out a ton. But if you cannot, like, spend the shit out of that, like, put that bitch on repeat and just play it. Like, you ain't even got to be in a room. Just play it.
You had a new Lando Cal?
Yeah, Lando Cal. Everybody listen to it.
If you're listening to this, you probably got that
too. Yeah, but I broke down how Gary Coleman should have been in Chocolate Factory.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I saw the title of it.
Right, because they were talking about
about the 70s, who the black kid would have been, it would have been Gary Coleman.
Good old Ronald.
So if you listen to that, though, I'll break that whole down, how Gary Coleman should have been in Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
We're going to break this into a couple parts.
You got to come back.
This show, we're going to have to break into a couple of parts. There's no way about it. You're going to get...
You're going to get two different...
You got this. This is part two you're listening to right now. So you've gotten the part earlier. You've got this part.
You're going to get two band songs for free.
Check this out.
I'm going to make sure that you got that too. I got you. But yeah, you feel me?
I got a piece coming out tomorrow on Clash Content. I'm dissecting Roger Goodell's letter to the NFL players. Basically, it's called Thanks But No Thanks. why would I go take a knee on protest? And it's something to that extent. But check that out. Clash Content over there with our boy, yeah, Brandon,
man.
Williams.
Shout out to everybody, man. A lot of people didn't even realize that. I've realized some people didn't know that I did parties, though, at one point. People were like, oh, this is your D, you did parties?
Right.
It's like, yeah, okay. It's all good. I'm not mad. Hey, like, man. I really don't pump it like that.
Hey,
know?
Man, y'all showed out. And on the other side, people didn't know.
Thank you, man. Then on the other side, people didn't know that I did the podcast. It was like, right. Shit, both of y'all motherfuckers don't know what's going on.
That's the thing, man. Gotta bring both Kyles together. Yeah, that's the strength. Man. That's the strength. That's the things we gotta do.
So we're gonna split this up. You're gonna get two parted this weekend. You're gonna get one on. Well, you'll get it.
You'll get it.
You'll get it when it's there.
Yeah, you'll get it when it's there.
You'll get it when it's there.
It is. A little bit. Appreciate you, Van, man. You gotta come back. No, we gonna next episode's gotta be Rob and Van together.
Yay, yeah, let's do that, man. That'll be fun.
Let me know, man. I had a ball. I appreciate everybody.
When Rob come for his Indiana Jones situation. Boy. You know what I'm saying? Been out there Indiana Jones and shit.
Oh, that motherfucker.
Quick Indiana Jones head out in Dubai and shit though. Like
he don't believe in staying in America, man. That's beautiful. My dude was in Austria, man. Like depressed. How the hell are you depressed in Europe, nigga? This nigga's in the crib and ain't never seen this shit.
He's like, man, my charge
don't
work.
I'm homesick, bruh. I'm home. I'm ready to be home. Nigga, you in Austria. If you don't get your ass out there and live life, nigga.
just go eat something you'll never be able to eat again in life.
Right. Go eat some of that gross ass shit. That fried rice gonna be here, bruh. All
right. Peace out for listening as always, though. We will be getting back in some emails later on, but tonight this had to be a dope joint.
Amen.
Two-parter. We'll see y'all. Peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the nosebleeds with the steez. Ain't another nigga highs, bruh. You better watch that slick talk you coughing before you get your shit wired up. A young nigga out of fly as fuck. A young nigga came to live it up. That's why you're watching from the sidelines. Your time is up. All that clocking, supporters still copping. Them haters stay hating while them hoes stay jocking, nigga. Ain't shit changed with the dagger names. Y'all brand niggas, we call them flavor aids. Shit can quickly get flavor, but I'm about killing them with precision. That's the player way. With that player way, she seeking player way. Ain't no cop rocket can stop and get out of player way. I'm greatest out there where she love the way you play away. She fell in love, but ain't no changing up a player way. Nah. They forgot when I was down, but now that I got the crown, they respect it, that's the way it go. So every day that I'm around, best believe I'm gon' clown. I'ma stay letting these hoes know. I'ma stay letting these hoes know. I'ma stay letting these hoes know. So now that I got the crown, best believe I'm gon' clown. I'ma stay letting these hoes know. Yeah. A little late, but at least I made it. All this flex, you should appreciate it. It's like Gold's Gym and so him, the flow grim. My style looking something like dinner, the game salivating. Biting ass niggas, you better kill it. But it's right still a ball in that grill, I hurt feelings. Tooth of emotions, ain't no difference when I'm drilling. So when I'm around, Martin down, act like you chillin'. Daddy backin' in the motherfucker. And since I left, y'all done got whackin' in the motherfucker. All bragging, bars lacking in the motherfucker. No love for it, heart blackin' in the motherfucker. No hugs, bout to get drunk. I'll show you how to stay clean while making niggas look washed up. The game changed soon as my name started to pop up. Now watch how they gon' front with that respect like I forgot, bruh. They forgot when I was down, but now that I got the crown, they respect it, that's the way it go. So every day that I'm around, best believe I'm gon' clown. I'ma stay letting these hoes know. I'ma stay letting these hoes know. I'ma stay letting these hoes know. So now that I got the crown, best believe